independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Kathy has a First Amendment right to make whatever provocative art she chooses. Whether or not you get or like her artistic expression, in America, Kathy has the right to publicly parody the president. In Russia, feminist artists Pussy Riot were imprisoned for 2 years by Trump's buddy Putin. In the U.S., the Supreme Court has ruled in a series of long-standing bedrock constitutional cases that political satire is protected, and the government cannot retaliate against citizens for it. That's an important legal right that is now under attack, as journalists, networks, and artists fear retribution from Trump and his administration.
Oh my God, Lisa Bloom, Kathy Griffin's attorney today at what was, I think, performance art, but you can be the judge of it all. Insanity. First, she has a First Amendment right, and it's being challenged. Joining us now, Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We talk politics, pop culture, and everything else as we wrap up the week. Jim, how is she in any way, shape, or form being bullied and or threatened by the president?
I have absolutely no idea. The only thing that the president, in air quotes, is doing is the Secret Service is going to investigate her. Because why? I don't know. She was holding a bloody replica head of the president, which, you know what, if you do and publicize it, may get you a visit from the Secret Service wanting to know, gee, Ms. Griffin, are you really considering doing such a activity to Mr. Trump?
She did what she did. I'm not one of these guys. Look, I don't. You've got the free right to do what you do. This is what you expect from comics and artists. You expect these kind of things. I have no problem with her expression. It was gross. I thought it was a bit distasteful. I understand all of that. I could see why people are pissed off. But how is it she, my thing is how is she surprised about any of this reaction?
I thought that I'm going to guess that she figured that because of the quantity of Trump derangement syndrome people out there on the left, that they would support that, just like you could pretty much do if you remember anything to George W. Bush. I believe somebody wrote a play murdering him when he was in office, and it was cheered by the left as free expression and art. I think they also got a visit from the Secret Service, too. But I think she figures that they could just go ahead and do whatever they want and that the liberal media would just applaud her for it and that she would just maybe get some more engagements and get some more tour dates out of it.
You know, as I watched all of this stuff unfold today, and again, you could have left it alone, right? You lost some stuff that you shouldn't be surprised you lost. You even said, while you were filming it, we're going to have to run because people are going to be pissed about this. We may have to go to Mexico before we go to federal prison. You knew this was going to cause a stir. And yet, over the last several months, really over the last several years, but over the last several months, it's ramped up. The Hannitys of the world, the Dr. Savages of the world, the Levins of the world, the media, Media Matters and all of them have gone after their people that sponsor their shows and have attacked them, vigorously, trying to get them off the air. And have done it really, a damn fine job. And to the point where even Hannity's had addressed it over the last 2 weeks, and so have several others. How could she be surprised that the right wouldn't go, well, you can't do this?
She figured the left media was going to protect her and that she'd be able to just go ahead and that they'd get so much support from Hollywood and from the acting community. And she has a large gay and lesbian following that they would probably support her and that she would just be fine going ahead. And they would just that little group that of artists that have that liberal speech ability and the ability to access the media would basically protect her from it.
And it hasn't. It's not going to. And I don't think it's going to go any better for her. This is what she had to say today at her press conference when she wasn't pretend crying.
If I don't stand up and say this, I'm afraid there's going to be some 12-year-old nerdy girl like me in Forest Park, Illinois, who are going to maybe be watching me to see what I do. And this bully and this president of all people is going to come after me? I picked the wrong redhead.
Now, Anthony said something earlier that I thought was very real. He said, yeah, Mia, you're pointing right there. He said, if you're bullied your whole life, how pissed are you at her? Because she's saying I'm bullied, when in truth, when you get bullied, you don't have the power. Yet she had the power to do this. She took it on. He's not bullying her. He reacted to a it said it was sick what you did. Yet at the same time, if you're sitting there and you're being bullied, you don't have that kind of power. You don't have your attorneys around. You don't have any of this stuff. And you sure in the hell don't wake up in the morning and kick the bully in the knee and then wonder why the bully reacted.
Correct. You can't be bullied, in my opinion, if you're the instigator of the attack. She's the one that started this. Trump didn't start this. Trump didn't come after her and say, let's see, I've got North Korea. I've got the whole global climate problem. You know what? I'm going to go harass Kathy Griffin today because that, I think, was what's going to help me make America great again.
And that's what I thought was you took the first shot. You taking the first shot does not make you a victim. And that's what she wants. And that's what she did today. She essentially victimized herself. Say, and she brought in everybody, the LGBT community. She brought in the veterans. She brought in all of these people. And as I was saying, look, you can do a lot of different things. But what you did was distasteful and classless, and I defend your right to do it. But if you're Daniel Pearl's mom, that's a much different viewpoint there, knowing full well what ISIS is doing on a day-to-day basis, not only ISIS, but where we sit, less than 200 miles away, what's going on across the border is something extremely similar. How could you think that this was a solid idea?
Remember, these are people that generally tend to live in media bubbles. Like I was saying earlier, she probably thinks that because of all the people she talks to despise Trump, they're all part of the full Trump derangement syndrome. The media is constantly CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC are constantly going off on Trump. So the world that she lives in, all she is hearing, so everybody out there and all these people to show up for the purple hat or for the pink hat march back in D.C. during Trump's inauguration. All she sees and looks at are people that despise Trump and figures that somehow, well, yeah, he got elected, but it was the Russians and it wasn't real. And really a majority of real Americans are despise Trump, and that they will back me up when it comes down to this, that they're going to think this is funny and give me my First Amendment and allow me to say First Amendment rights to go ahead and do this, even if it's in bad taste.
And it was in, you know, I thought it was in poor taste. I don't wish her any ill will. I think the people that come after and death threats that you're stupid. That was the other thing I thought. Did you not think that people were going to be pissed about this on the right? These people, Trump, who support Trump across the board, who you demonize along with everybody else and think they're a bunch of knuckle draggers living in the middle of the country, dating their sisters with one tooth between the whole family. You didn't think they would have a reaction to this?
No, absolutely. I mean, and again, I agree with exactly what you said. No one warrants a death threat. There's no reason anyone should be threatening her physically with this. She has the right to do it. She has the right to be in poor taste. You have the right to do something in poor taste and mock Barack Obama. And you were welcome to do that for the last 8 years or even today if you really want to, though I doubt anyone will cover you today. But yeah, no, exactly. There, you know, of course she should have expected backlash. Trump won a majority of the electoral votes in this country. So there's a lot of people out there that, regardless of what you may think, like Donald Trump and still like Donald Trump.
You know, it's funny when I hear, well, you know, she won the popular vote. She won by what, 1.5 million? 2 million? It wasn't like she won 65 million votes and he had 7 in the right places. He had 61 million votes, 60, whatever it was. It wasn't like this was, oh my God, I can't believe it. Still half the country didn't vote for 844-DIG-CHAD. Hey, sooner or later, Jim, you drive a lot. You're going to need to do something smart. Car Shield is the smart thing to do. You get extended coverage. That way, let's just say for the sake of argument, your car, out on you. Do you have the money to float up front? No. Do you have the money to pay for getting it fixed? You know what an engine costs? $5,000? Oh, my God. That's expensive, man. Well, let me tell you what Car Shield does for you. 24/7 roadside assistance. Boom. That's a good thing. Rental car while your car's in the shop. Boom. You pick your mechanic. They pay the mechanic directly. It is a win-win all around. It's the smart thing to do. So what are you waiting for, everybody? CarShield's paid close to $2 billion to their many, many claims out there to everybody. You got to be smart about this, man. We all drive a lot. This is what we do. We don't, you know, unless you live in New York City, you're driving all over the place. And it's a great way to protect your car. Save yourself thousands of potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate extended vehicle service protection. Before it's too late, call 800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Benson or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. More with Jim Kennedy, straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
independent in thought, and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
As a result of the first family's bullying of her and of those she does business with, Kathy has been vilified. She's been receiving a lot of death threats. She's had her personal website and her social media channels shut down, been fired from multiple jobs, and had multiple events canceled.
That is Lisa Bloom, who we forgot to say is Gloria Allred's daughter, representing Kathy Griffin in her bizarre, I don't know why she needed to hold some sort of press conference today. But Mayor Prince Anthony brought up a perfect thing, is Kathy Griffin has made her life on making fun of other people, bullying them in some ways, exposing secrets. You know, as a perfect example, Clay Aiken. She made fun of Clay. Before Clay was out, she outed him on numerous occasions and really went after him. She's made a living off this, and she fired the first shot, yet we're supposed to feel sorry for her because of what? Because she's a redheaded woman?
Because she had she got an attorney that got a hold of her who's basically lived off of being kind of a PR person. And, you know, why was there an attorney there? Was she announcing a lawsuit? Was there some sort of legal action?
That's what I want to know.
I mean, why does she need an attorney? She could hold a press conference. I'm sure because of what she's done recently, she would get enough people to show up. She just said, I want to hold a press conference. But I didn't hear any legal action coming out of this. So I don't really know why she needs an attorney there.
And her website and everything's down. That's on her.
Yeah, she did that.
You did that by yourself. Yeah. So don't say, again, nobody said you couldn't do what you did. Nobody said that none of the things you claim today are actually real. You're living in a fantasy world. You have gone out now and you have created a victimization profile for yourself, and you're running with it. And now you're trying to get as many people on board as possible. The Pootster has been speaking, not a shocker, of course, this weekend with Megyn Kelly. Did you see Megyn Kelly's dress in that interview?
No, I didn't. Is that something I need to watch for?
You know what? You should. Okay. Yeah, right? There was not a lot of it.
Okay.
I don't know what she was doing. I don't know if she was trying to woo the Pootster, but he is speaking.
It's the Russians. They intervened. They interfered. It's like anti-Semitism. The Jews are to blame. You're an idiot because the Jews are to blame, right?
Let's get some Danish guy. Yeah, the Jews are to blame for this stuff. But, first of all, never good to evoke the Holocaust or any of these kind of things. Never, ever good to do that kind of stuff. But, you know, Russia is not going away. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research with us. It's not going away. Comey may be testifying next week. You may hear the White House step away, or you may have them, you know, they're talking about they may try to block his testimony. The truth needs to come out. Russia, Kushner, it's all BS, and it's just we're here still trying to figure out how do we get on with our life every day.
Well, the average American I don't think, really is concerned whether James Comey is going to testify next week or not. The average American in Dubuque, Iowa, is trying to figure out whether he can pay his bills, whether he can afford his $8,000 a year medical deductible or Obamacare, and whether he's going to need new tires when it comes winter for his car. That's basically what they're being concerned about. And maybe with a little bit of time, they're maybe be concerned about whether their kids are going to go to college or not. And hopefully it won't be to Evergreen College up in Washington, because that place is just crazy.
That place is nuts. But I said the media has done this to itself. But part of that is us, because people are craving something that's not the same old policy wonk kind of boring, you know, rapid fire. We all sit around a table and we talk about policy stuff. So now it's got to be this TMZ-like thing, and people are buying into it because the numbers seem to say so. But in the end, you go back and you look and you see all the people from the Pelosi's of the world to everybody else, Brennan, everybody, there is no there. Yet they're going to take it there for as long as they there can.
Now, even Maxine Waters, who's screaming impeachment every other day, admitted on CNN, well, no, we actually don't really have anything, but he still just needs to be impeached.
Yeah. Once again, you can't, you know, even what was it? Even Pelosi said, look, just because you don't like his politics or his hair doesn't mean you could get rid of him. There's got to be a reason. And right now there is no reason. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is in travel ban. They said by the 12th. Of June, they're going to hear it at the Supreme Court. Your gut says what?
That it will go Trump's favor 5-4.
5-4? So you think Kennedy's going to...
I think, I mean, the constitutional experts that I talk to are just absolutely nuts that this has even gone this far. You can't take campaign promises. It's clearly defined in the Constitution what the president can and can't do. You don't take into action what his words on the campaign trail are. You take into account what he legally can and can't do constitutionally. He has the right to do this. He's not banning Muslims because he's leaving off what is, I think, four of the top five population countries for Muslims.
I think it's not like a Muslim 29 ban. Countries and like 23 of them are still fine to come here.
Yeah, so it's basically not a Muslim ban. It's a ban from those countries that are also on the list that the Obama administration created for countries that they have problems screening people from.
Yes, and we've allowed in quite a ton in the last couple months over, you know, in the last, what is it, since the fiscal year began, some 49,000, I believe it has been, and over the last 2 months, 4,900 here. And even Anthony said, you can't tell me that you let in 49,000 and all of them have been vetted to the point where you know 100% that this person poses zero threat.
Yeah, Libya basically has no government. It's got something that they're calling a government. They have no ability. There's no database. There's nobody you can call up and screen these people on. Syria is obviously a mess. It's got no screening methodologies either. So there are absolutely no way to screen Libyans and Syrians at this point to verify who they are, that they're not part of ISIS trying to sneak in here.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's not like they have hold on, let's go to a computer. You've got a Social Security card. You've got your passport. You've got everything. We've got a database. We can go back and pull up your history. No, there is none of that. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is joining us. When we're at 10, we are going to talk about the other giant cloud, if you will, that took place yesterday. No, it was not more Crazy Kathy Gifford. It was Paris to love, to stay, to bid au revoir. What did he do? We bid au revoir. We'll get Jim's take on it straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Well, 24 hours ago, we stepped away from the Paris Climate Accord change part due. I went outside. It's 643 degrees below zero with a chance of sunshine and some snow. Joining me now, Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, good, bad, or indifferent on this?
Good. I think it's a good idea for us to step away from it. As I have said and posted on social media multiple times, show me a working climate model that can account for what's happened in the past and they'll accurately predict what's going to happen in the future. And I'll talk to you about global warming. But otherwise, you got a hypothesis that is lacking the factual data that you can prove what's going on.
Because that's always the thing. 94.985% of people say that climate change is happening. You're missing out on that. It's true. We've seen the data. Yet when I say, well, yeah, you've seen data, but that data always seems to have a problem. And they seem to go out and say, well, this model didn't work the way we thought. And the numbers were jerry-rigged. And then you sit around and go, well, that's not real. And then people attack you.
Yes, or they have to normalize the data, or they have to pick different sources of data every year from different points on the Earth that's where that point was happened to be hot that year. So you pick like where everyone's having the high temperatures rather than the same points year over year over year. So I don't, you know, if there was not so much interest, one, in shutting down all conversation for people that are anti-warmers or climate deniers, excuse me, it's a proper phrase. And B, if it wasn't something that involved government control is the only solution to fix this, I would be a lot less skeptical about global warming being something real versus something that's more of an attempt just to basically give a reason why liberals get to run the government.
And as I was trying to explain to people yesterday, first and foremost, here's the thing with global warming. Climate change, all of it, it's big business. for those of you who don't understand how big of a business is, it's a multi-billion dollar business that many of these corporations you see running at it saying we're disturbed by this stuff, or corporations who are trying to build big business with inside. Elon Musk, this is your business. Of course you want this to go because it means more business for you. But ask a coal miner and a coal company how they feel. They'll have a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. Spain, right after the liberal government came in after the 2004 Madrid bombings, as part of their implementation of their liberal policies, was they were determined to make Spain the leading green economy in Europe. Well, by 2011, they had a 26.5% unemployment rate in Spain. So I don't think the whole green jobs thing worked out very well there.
No, and that's the one of the things that I thought was hilarious was you've got all these people that are coming out and they're doing all these crazy things about how the world's going to come to end. And then you got Pelosi.
But the accord would have created an explosion of green energy jobs for the future. And the president, again, lives in a fact-free zone. In fact, he lives in a false zone.
Which they had no idea what a false zone or a factory zone was. But it is funny. Are you making fun of people who work in factories who are also the base of your party that you dream of, that middle class? White middle class American who's out there, union worker. That sounds like you're making fun of them. Again, identity politics, also coastal politics. But when I listen to her, Jim, jobs are going to be there. Nobody stopped today who had an opportunity to build something that was amazing that would help the environment based on the fact that we're not in this thing.
Well, first of all, I'm waiting for the 500,000 jobs that were supposed to be created by the passage of Obamacare back in 2010 that Pelosi promised. So I'm looking for those jobs still, Nancy. Can you please tell me where they went? But no, you're absolutely correct, Chad.
Next to the shovel.
Thank you. Exactly. If you want to go out and be a windmill technician, God bless you. Go ahead. Go join up with GE. You'll probably have a great living. If you want to go out there and be a solar panel salesman, knock yourself out. Great for you. But I don't think there's anything that requires us to belong to an accord, based on 147 or so other nations in the world that demand what we do. And as far as they want to control our economy and as they basically want to set limits, we can set whatever limits we want. We're already the leader in reducing coal carbon emissions as it is. So we're already going down that path, regardless of whether we want to or not. So what exactly is going to be the difference if we stay in this thing or if we leave it? It doesn't really going to matter.
No, and one of the other things that people don't touch upon that finally Pence came out, and you never hear because it's always tugging at your heartstrings. It's always, oh, my God, you got to understand something. The polar bears are going to die and da-da-da. Finally, he said something today, Pence, when he was on Fox and Friends this morning, about not only Trump putting America first, but also, China and India.
What the world witnessed yesterday again was an American president putting America first. President Donald Trump on the campaign trail had called into account an agreement that really put an extraordinary burden on the American economy while allowing some countries around the world like China and India to literally go a decade or more without any accountability for reducing CO2 emissions. Yesterday, President Trump made it very clear that we're withdrawing from the Paris Accord.
And Jim Kennedy's with us from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. And Jim, he said it right there, which people don't understand is we were obligated. There was some stuff in there that was binding for us, but for other countries, it was just you can ignore it. You think China's going to stop down their economy? Hell no. We had to go through and continue to. Some of this stuff was binding. And on top of all of that, how do you get to the states? Because you're going to have federal law and you're going to have state laws, and they're going to differ.
No, absolutely. I believe now the leader of the global warming movement is Jerry Brown. He's become the unofficial leader because he is the governor in chief of global warming or something. But talking about China, no, absolutely, they're not going to. And in fact, a couple of years ago, China was opening one coal-fired power plant a week to meet their energy demands. They've got humongous energy demands. And the Chinese, as you said, they don't care about greening their economy. Now, they will love to sell us solar panels cheaper than anybody else.
Absolutely.
But as far as their own economy, the smog in Beijing is horrible. I was there 10, 15 years ago, and it was horrendous in Shanghai. It was horrendous in Beijing. It's only gotten worse. I remember they were trying to clean it up quickly before
the
2008 Olympics because they were so concerned about, the marathoners
dying.
Yeah, the marathoners just going to keel over at the 24-mile mark from lack of oxygen getting in their brains.
So, as we look at all this stuff and I tried to explain to somebody yesterday, let me tell you what else about this that you don't understand is the money grab that we were going to be obligated to throw out there to the UN so they could disperse the money to poorer nations was also a perfect example of how everybody on the left hates big business and how they do things, but this is big country business because we were going to pay small nations to not industrialize, to not take hold of capitalism and run with it, because the last thing that we want is what? More competition.
Right. Big business bad, big government good, if you're a liberal. And if you want, you're talking about this is big, a big money grab. Is there anybody besides Al Gore who has made more money over global warming in the last 15 years?
Wow, he is. He's made a ton, and he still does. He's got the new movie. Is it Revenge of the Sith, Global Warming, whatever it is? I don't know what it's called, right? Like, it's part two. It's coming out. These guys. But remember part one? It showed us what? Manhattan's underwater in 10 years. And that came and went. And I think you ask anybody, right or left, we all want a better environment. We all want to make sure that things are clean. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I can't wait to go pour oil all over a duck. It doesn't happen. But at the same time, you look at this and it doesn't matter what you say to these people because it's all about the feelings, and their feelings lead instead of their facts.
They believe that it's happening. They believe that the world, you know, it's going to be 104 degrees in Iceland by 2051 or something. And it's just absolutely nuts. There was a guy back, I don't know if it was 10 years ago, was saying, this is probably the last snowfall children in Britain will ever see. And like 4 years ago, they were like 8 feet deep up in northern, northern.
But it's a different kind of snowfall because that was the last snowfall that child got to see at that age. Now that he's older, it's a different kind of snowfall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying that.
And you know, something else, all these companies, and I was also trying to explain, well, look at all these companies, Chad. I said, let me tell you something about these companies. Companies are afraid nowadays. If they don't fall in line in the world of social media the way they're supposed to, their company is going to be absolutely lambasted and torn apart. And what we have seen, case in point with Dr. Dow and the whole thing, the way that United went and all this stuff, is you can take a hit in your stock. So what do you do? The guy at Coca-Cola, flying around in his private jet, not giving a rat's ass about any of this stuff, he doesn't care about any of this crap. He doesn't.
But it's funny because you had Rex Tillerson, who was the former chairman of Exxon, was very much wanting us to stay in it because I believe he still got the mentality from when he was at Exxon. They knew it was politically correct for them as an oil company to be in favor of looking like they were in favor of working on climate change while they were pumping billions of barrels of oil a year out of the ground.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's so funny because you look at all of this stuff and you start laughing because Exxon. You know, I saw it. Who was it? You know, you name it, Chevron, you know, Marathon. They're all, of course, but they're all trying to come up with a way, too, that once this oil stuff's gone, what green stuff do we have? Because to them, it's becoming big business as well, and they want to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Chevron, I think, has been investing in some of the wind farms up in Palm Springs. So I think that they've been trying. I know that a lot of the companies about 10 years ago all changed from oil company to energy company. It's not Chevron Oil, it's Chevron Energy Company. Because, yeah, they work on geothermal. They work on wind power. They've been, you know, working on the offshore with the wave power, with the tidal power. You can run generators and stuff. But, yeah, they all know that oil is going to go away, but it'll go away naturally through a free market process, not because the governments of the world spend $100 trillion over the next 80 years trying to make oil go away. There's a free market response to it. If you want to buy a Tesla because you think it's going to make us greener, go right ahead. You have that choice, but just don't make everybody buy Teslas.
Well, and the problem is you want to buy it. First of all, how many of you are rolling out and dropping 100 G's on a Tesla? Yeah. Very few. You buy a Tesla because it's a cool car, right? So I got a couple guys who live next door. They play tennis all the time. We talk about the Tesla. None of those guys are green. They bought it because it's a cool, hip sports car. That's why they bought it. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. We'll wrap it up straight ahead. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson loves lemonade. No wonder his show is two parts tart to one part sweet. Time for a refill. Cheers.
It's long been a goal of the liberal left in this country to advance a climate change agenda. You saw it back in the days of the Kyoto Protocol. We've demonstrated real leadership. We've demonstrated real progress. But for some reason or another, this issue of climate change has emerged as a paramount issue for the left in this country and around the world.
Pence there today on Fox and Friends. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research joins us. You can join the show, too, 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Talking about us exiting the world of the climate accord via Paris. Matthew and Indy, what's happening, man?
Oh, not much. How are you today?
Doing good, brother.
Good. You know, one of the things that I've just been noticing the pattern, and I know other people have picked it up, but you have this, and I'm using the word progressive, not in the manner of progressives versus conservatives, but progressive as in making forward movement, where, for instance, in the world of consumerism, you know, the government, for the first time ever, a number of years back, mandated us now to purchase health insurance, and we get penalized financially for not purchasing health insurance. And with Obamacare, that was effectively the first time that had really happened from a health insurance perspective ever. And so what I feel like is that at times the government and we see it in the media playing out pretty grotesquely here lately, they make an advance almost to see, let's do this to see if we can get away with it. And when we do that, the government gets to sit back and goes, you know what, we've mandated health insurance, why not mandate green technologies?
Well, you know now what, here's the thing, Matthew, and I appreciate your call. They haven't mandated green technologies, but they did mandate better gas mileage. And here, living in California, what do we have an issue with right now? Our infrastructure sucks, our roads sucks, and guess what? The taxes don't work like they used to because they give all these tax breaks to all these people for their electric cars. Plus, we've got better gas mileage, so they're no longer getting the gas tax they used to. They're going to come up with some way, some shape or form to roll this stuff into it. And because it's a touchy-feely good thing, Jim, people are okay with that.
Yeah, the Obamacare thing was, and it's a good point that he brings up about that. It was a, you know, to me that was kind of an earth-shattering point where the first time in the history of this country, to be an American, you were required to buy something. That had never happened up to that point. But you're right about the gas taxes. We've been good. We buy cars. We get better and better economy. Ford and Chevrolet have been producing those cars. So what's the response? Oh, we got to charge you more taxes now because you're not driving enough or we're not getting enough money out of you because, you know, you're not buying enough gasoline anymore.
It's insane. But when all of this stuff happened yesterday and all these things went on, I started seeing stuff pop up, and one of the things that popped up on the front of CNN, as we know they have the love of Trump like you could not believe, was America has now passed the torch. Merkel is now the leader of the free world. Are they insane?
Yes, but that's beyond the point. Remember, it is a Clinton News Network. But, no, absolutely. It's the amount of people that I've seen on my Facebook pages this week that are becoming so disheveled over this thing about – you know, oh my gosh, my child is so scared that what's going to happen to him when he's 40 because there's going to be, you know, it's going to be 142 degrees in the Antarctic in 15 years or something. It's just absolutely nuts. This is not going to change. This is like, remember a couple weeks ago when the Republicans passed a health care bill through the House. Oh my gosh, your health coverage is going to go away at midnight. You'll have no more health coverage as of midnight tonight when that bill passes. No, what's happened in those 7 weeks? Nothing. What's going to happen with this? Nothing. You may get more people selling you solar panels. That's about all you're going to see out of this.
Yeah, nothing. But we haven't left our standing on the globe, people.
No.
We are not going anywhere. We're still going to deal with these people. They can say that we're not going to negotiate a new deal with you. I have news for you. Trump will go and negotiate a deal one by one if he has to, and not with 195. He's going to negotiate with the ones that, well, you know what, serve us best, and we can best serve them.
And I will guarantee you, you find a refugee from any country in the world and give them a choice. Do you want to go to America or do you want to go to Germany? What do you think they're going to pick, Chad?
I think they're going to pick America.
I think they are too.
Because we're America.
Absolutely.
Indeed. So last thing, and then, of course, want to thank Jim for coming on, as he always does, as he wraps it up this week in a magical, special way that Jim does. Do you think global warming is real, Jim Kennedy?
I actually do not. The global warming in and of itself is a very complex Are we talking about the Earth?
Climate change.
Okay, well, that's the thing. It used to be global warming.
Yes.
When the warming actually stopped, it became climate change. So if you've got a theory that can't hold up to the fact that it doesn't actually happen and you need to change the name of it to make your case work, kind of makes me somewhat questioning whether or not you have a valid theory. So, no, I do not think that man is causing the temperature of the nations or of the world to rise. As I said, you show me a working climate model that can prove it, just like you've got a model that can prove gravity or you can prove the Kepler's laws of planetary motion, and I will be willing to talk to you about it all you want. And I'm happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk about global warming and the proof that's involved.
You can follow him at Righty Jim. Jim Kennedy always joins us on Fridays to wrap up the week in politics and life. Solid week as it was. 4-day work week. Very nice. Back to the 5-day work week next week. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter. You can always tweet at us. You can always text us as well, 323-538-2423. Go to ChadBensonShow.com. You can grab your podcast there. It's absolutely free. For Jim, for Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. As always, we bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.